You're listening to another exclusive interview on scorenotes.com.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us here on scorenotes.com. How's everything going over there?
Everything's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Glad to hear it. And to get underway, I was wondering if you could tell us what your approach was for the music of Source Code, which is a sci-fi thriller that I'm sure presented a few challenges along the way, given the scenario of the film.
There were a few challenges. The approach was just to try to do it well, as it is with any project. It came on kind of late in the game, so there really wasn't a lot of time to philosophize and to think about, to experiment or to try different sounds or try different things. It kind of became, all right, you've got not very much time to do this 75 minutes of music, and we can't push back, so go. So kind of our strategy became, all right, let's find the biggest moments in the film, maybe the trickiest musically, and do those first. And so my first meeting with Duncan, the director, and Paul Hirsch, the editor, I went away, and this was actually kind of before I really had the job. It was, they called me down, watched the movie, and kind of said, can you do it? And then I guess can you do it could be taken two ways. Are you available to do it, and can you actually do it? And so we went away from that meeting and decided to do the ending cue. I did the ending cue first, which is about a four and a half minute long cue. But there's kind of the emotional climax of the movie, and I can't tell you really what happens because it gives away what actually happens in the movie. But that was, it was tricky because it was emotional. It's a thriller. There's some action elements. There's mystery to it, but there's also a lot of emotion and some romance as well. And it's all kind of embodied in that in-cue. And also they wanted me to do the main titles, which I was kind of excited about because it seems like fewer movies these days actually have main titles where that's what it exists for. It seems like more and more you're diving right into the meat of the movie. Yeah, and you might see the title of the movie down in the corner somewhere or something as it's starting. So this was fun in that the first 2.5 minutes, there's nothing going on but this really great aerial photography of Chicago and a train headed into it. So we tackled those two scenes first, thinking that would give us, if we found something that we all agreed worked, it would give us the tone. It would give us some material from which to mine the themes for the rest of the movie. And it kind of worked out that way. And I was also lucky in that Paul and Duncan both had very clear ideas of what they wanted musically. So once we tackled those two things, we had our themes, we had kind of some motors that could be used in areas that didn't necessarily need themes, we had a general sound of it, we were able to just kind of tackle it on a scene-by-scene basis. Not necessarily paying attention to the Groundhog Day-ness of the story, because even with repeating something over and over again, as far as an element of the story, the drama is different each time. Maybe his name's Coulter. Maybe his mission is different each time he's back. Maybe his motivation is different, and so it became less about scoring, all right, this is his fourth time back in the train, and more about what is going on dramatically in this scene and how do we follow it, because his motivation changes throughout the film, the more and more he goes back, and the more he kind of, again, without giving too much away, the more he understands what his mission is. But it's probably the world's longest answer for a pretty short, simple question. But there was kind of a lot to it.
No, that's great insight, and part of that response about the character reliving a certain sequence over and over, You know, that was one of my questions, because I'm sure Duncan did not set it up where it's just a pure replay of one scene after the next. So were you impressed in the manner in which he set the direction for this?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's incredibly talented. And it's not just the way that it was set up. I mean, the performances are great. It really feels like a little big movie, if that makes any sense. Because it really, Jake Gyllenhaal, who plays Coulter, has to carry the thing dramatically, because he's in every scene and the only one who's really in every scene. But yes, it is paced very well. I never felt like I was getting tired of another trip back, here we go again. And so in that sense, it made it a little bit easier musically, because it was usually pretty clear what was being told, what the story that was being told, and what I needed to do to support it.
Now, part of what I really loved about your music is that it has some really memorable nods to some of the classic sci-fi scores of yesteryear that I think fans will really enjoy. Was this a style that you locked in on early on when you came onto the project?
Yeah, it was. Like I said, it was kind of hit the ground running, and so there wasn't a lot of time to try different sounds, and so it was kind of based on those first two scenes that we scored. This is going to be the sound of the movie, and you know, oddly enough as well, those two scenes have the biggest music of the movie. So everything else is going to be smaller than that, but still need to be to have that material for a sense of consistency. And so, as far as nods towards, I mean, I think there was a little bit of, not so much saying, oh, we should try to emulate this score, emulate this sound, but I think intuitively and based on the way things were shot and the way stories were told, yeah, there are some. I think there are some influences that that come across in there that maybe were more intuitive, not necessarily a decision we're going to do this, but just kind of came about, feels right, if that makes sense.
Yes, it seems to have naturally evolved to that state. That's what I picked up from listening to it. So I just want to compliment you on that. It's a sound and a style that I hope to hear more of from other movies.
Have you seen the movie, or you just heard the music?
I just heard the music at this point, and I love the kind of story that the music tells. It's definitely a great primer for going to see the movie.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. And you know, given that you didn't have a lot of prep time when you landed into this thing, but what were just some of your expectations of the director, Duncan Jones? Had you seen some of his work beforehand? And just want like to get your overall sense of where you were at when you first started up.
I didn't know Duncan at all. I had heard of him. I had heard of his first film, Moon, which I've since seen, and it's a fantastic movie. Anyone who hasn't seen it, it has a great score from Quentin Menzel. But I hadn't seen it, and truth be told, when I was brought onto the project, I still hadn't seen it, because it was literally a little backstory. My wife, a couple months ago, I guess 4 months ago now, we had our third child, and then the day after, we were still in the hospital, the day after he was born, I get a call to come down, and you need to come watch this movie now. And so I went down to watch it without knowing anything about it. I knew, you know, they said, and the one who called me, I had worked with before on a previous project, previous film, and they had told Duncan, they had basically recommended me to Duncan. Paul Hirsch was one of those involved, who was the editor. And they said, you need to get down to watch this now. And so I didn't, you know, normally I try to go into something a little more prepared of who the filmmaker is, what he's, in this case, it was literally go down, meet him. I knew he'd done Moon, but I didn't know any of his work. And I knew he was David Bowie's son. And that was the extent of my knowledge of Duncan Jones before I met with him. But he's a very natural way about him. He's very sincere. He's very thoughtful. And so it was very easy to work with him and to have kind of an immediate dialogue and a back and forth. It was very comfortable. But as far as expectations, no, I didn't have any, because it was just met him, and basically, you know, the first time I met him, they're asking me, all right, go write this music, and, and here we go.
Do you think that sometimes just jumping into the fire helps the creative process in any, you know, situation? Do you think sometimes it's a pro as opposed to a con?
I think the answer is yes. It can be both. In this case, I think it was helpful in that, all right, there's no time to mess around. I've got to be focused now. And not to say that I wouldn't otherwise, but I've really got to be doing my very best work right out of the gate here. And so it increases the sense of urgency on that side. But also, I have to be honest, it puts the composer at a little bit of an advantage, because when you get to the crunch time like that, where people are a little nervous about it getting done on time, they want to like it. And so there's no time for, or this is not as much time for back and forth and, you know, kind of pontification, as it were. And so it helps in that it narrows my focus, hones it in. And I think it helps also from the other side in that they understand the timeline involved, as I said, and I don't know how else to say it other than they want to like it even more because they know the time involved. But I've been involved in a couple projects like this. When I worked with James Newton Howard for a long time, and he did King Kong, and that came in, and we had, you know, 4.5 weeks, I think, to do 3 hours of music, and it was really all him. I mean, and it was kind of amazing to see what happens when you're thrown into something like that. And there's a certain amount of, I don't want to say competition, but I guess that's what it is. You're challenged by that deadline. Can I do this? Can I make this these ends meet? And, you know, what I did on Source Code was nowhere near in the same ballpark as King Kong logistically or otherwise. But I just use as an example that sometimes just the challenge of it can be a motivating factor.
And you mentioned King Kong, your work with James Newton Howard, and, you know, you also worked on Romeo and Juliet, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Brings up a kind of a point to me, is there's a lot of genres that a composer has to tackle. And for you personally, do you have an appreciation for all genres of film? Because if you don't have an appreciation for each, is it more difficult to deliver the best score that you can for it?
I think so. To answer the first part, basically universally, I love movies. It's like people ask all the time, well, what's your favorite type of music, or what's your favorite type of movie, or even more specific, what's your favorite movie, or what's your favorite score? And I can't, I've never been able to formulate a good answer for those questions, because, first of all, it tends to change all the time, and second, like, well, I can't say that, well, I love action movies. Even though I do love action movies, but there are some great action movies, and there are some that aren't as great. And same thing with scores. You know, even with the most respected composers, in my mind, have done amazing work, but just about everyone's done some that are not as great. And so I think when talking about genres of movies, it's similar in that I love good movies. Whatever genre they're in, whatever they're about, whoever's in, whatever budget, if it's a great movie or a good movie with a really good story, a story that I'm interested in, with characters I care about, then chances are it doesn't matter what genre the movie is, I'm going to like it. And I've actually been pretty fortunate to be able to work in the short time I've been doing it on a lot of different genres. And several animated movies. I've worked on documentaries. I've done a serious drama for Taylor Hackford, and, you know, everything that I did with James in Source Code is a departure from that too. I've never done this kind of thriller with the kind of sci-fi elements that are in there. But so yeah, I love all movies, and I love to get to work on, I shouldn't say I love all movies, I love good movies in any style, in any genre. If I'm being honest, the only one I can't really get into are the kind of slasher horror, you know, kind of the more shocking horror films that kind of exist for, just to go and be grossed out and be shocked a little bit by it. Not to name any names, but that's the only ones that I usually am not just intrinsically interested in.
Right, and not surprisingly, the scores for those types of movies are very generic, because if all the horror is up front and it's not left to the imagination, where's the music to go?
Right, exactly.
So no, that's a great answer. I think genres go out the window when you get down to the base elements that movies are good and the good ones work, and you know that goes for the composer as well as the audience. So that's great. Now that Source Code is coming out, and I think, again, you did a great job. I think the score is, you could have fooled me. It sounds like you've been doing this kind of score for years, so compliments on that as well. Where do you kind of go next from here?
That's a great question. I've finished up a really nice busy period, and there's several things circling now, but nothing that I can say, this is what I'm doing next. So if you hear anything, let me know.
The way the internet is, the rumors get passed around quite a bit, and I won't be surprised to hear your name attached to other prominent projects after what you delivered with Source Code.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you as well. I appreciate your time. I hope we could catch up on those aforementioned secret projects that come about. So, yeah, thanks again. It was great chatting with you.
My pleasure. Hope to do it again.